This podcast is presented to you by Passion Church and their campus in Alexander City, Alabama. For more information, visit www.mypassion.church.
The day the Lord hath made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, He made it for me. Therefore, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, the Lord is so good. He's been dealing with, these last couple of months about, we're talking about it, enhancing or advancing the kingdom of God. And, you know, it begins first in our life. And in order to advance the kingdom of God in other people's lives, that has to take place in our lives first and foremost. And I heard a pastor say one time at a conference, he was talking about, you know, they were talking about how churches and pastors could get together and how they could grow a congregation. And I like what one of the pastors said at that convention. He said, we can put all kinds of plans and programs together. He said, but unless it starts in me as a pastor first, it's not going to happen. You see, advancing God's kingdom, it requires that it starts in leadership. Always starts in leadership. In other words, if you're going to have your children to become what God wants them to become, then they got to see that in you. They have to see that what you're talking about, what you're saying to them, what you're training them in, that it's not just hocus pocus. There's a purpose behind it because it works. And because you have learned as a parent, you've learned what, at least in some things, you've learned what did work in your life growing up and what didn't work. And those are usually the techniques and the principles that we apply in our children's lives. We don't usually teach our children something that really we have never experienced or have no experience of. Because if that way, there's a saying that says, you know, you got to walk your talk. Well, if you don't know how to walk it, don't need to be talking about it. You know what I'm saying? Because people say, well, you know, they're just a bunch of hot air. And what they call that, hypocrites, they say one thing, but they do another. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about some things that maybe, just maybe, I'm not sure, because I'm not you, but I can tell you about my life. I like to impart into your life the things that God is doing and working and has accomplished in my life. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I have arrived because I haven't. I like what the Apostle Paul says. I've not gotten there yet, he said, but this one thing I do. I forget the past. Come on. You see, if we're going to grasp a hold of today, then you got to let go of the past and receive the new. Amen. Have you ever had stale bread? You didn't like it, you threw it out. But the good fresh bread you kept. You not only kept it, but you ate it. I love to go to the restaurant there in Montgomery. Kelly and I like to go there. I think, what's it? The Texas Roadhouse. They have I'm going to make y'all hungry, and that's why this message is going to be short, because I'm going to try my best to let y'all out here early. But listen, you know, we go to Texas Roadhouse. We get some of those homemade rolls. I guess they're homemade. I know they taste homemade. But they give you this stuff called honey butter. Man, it makes you lick your lips when the waiter or the waitress puts it on the table for you. I mean, I can't wait to pull. I mean, oh, I just take that. I don't even want to pull the bread apart. I just want to dip it in, you know. I just want to just get me a big old mouthful. We see, that's the way it is with this word. When we receive fresh manna, you want to just gobble it up like that homemade bread. And God has just been dealing with my heart about things in these last 30 days, maybe the last 60 days, perhaps. You know, we talked about you have the key, the master key to the kingdom of God. And then the last Sunday, we talked about who's your daddy. In other words, are you grasping a hold of who you are because you have the DNA of God in you? You're made in the image and likeness of God. And in my study time this week, the Lord just kept dealing with me about talking like my daddy. You see, my dad was a salesman and a general manager at one of the Cadillac Chevrolet dealerships in Jacksonville, North Carolina for a number of years. And I used to go in and I'd mimic my dad. When my dad would go in, he'd let me go in on Saturdays. I always wanted to wear that real nice suit and those patent leather shoes, and I wanted to walk in and carry myself like my dad. Because, you know, he was the general manager. Well, and I wanted to walk like him. I wanted to talk like him. I would watch him, you know, Phil, when he'd go up to somebody new on the dealership, like he'd come up and say, Chuck Wisner, it's good to meet you, you know, and he'd look him in the eye. And so when I'd get home, I'd go to my brother and I'd say, Ron Wisner, it's good to meet you. He'd say, that was my brother. He'd say, what are you doing? I said, I'm acting like daddy. But what I found out was is that in order to imitate dad, my father, there's things that he does I have to do. And the Word of God, the Word of God is just full of scriptures that talk to us and teach us that we are to talk like he talks. Now, you say, well, I have my own language, you know. And we all do. We all have our own sayings, our little sayings, you know. One of the sayings that Kelly and I says, you know, I know one of, and y'all probably have no concept of what it means. And I don't either because I heard my mom say it. But she'll do something, I'll say, well, that's just the bee's knees. I have no idea what the bee's knees are, but that's what my mom said. But it's something special to her, so I just say it. Well, that's just the bee's knees. I still don't know what that means, but it's my saying. Y'all follow me? And I'm sure you all have your sayings. But God began to put a check at Kelly and I's mouth several years ago when we begin to realize and to learn through the Word of God that he wants us not to speak foolishness. But he wants us to speak what he speaks. And we learned that if we spoke like God speaks, we get the same results God got and gets. As I preached last Sunday, I said, you know, it says in the beginning, I read the scripture to you where he said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, but he did it by just saying. And God said, and there was. What I really want to be able to pierce your heart with today is that when you leave here today, that you have a guard at your mouth. You'll be so conscious that, am I saying what Dad says? You know, Kelly mentioned earlier, talking about in the sermon, she says, you know, well, some of you may have not had a father, or you didn't have a good father, or you maybe didn't know your father. But you have a father, and his name's God. You have an elder brother named Jesus. Jesus mimicked his father. And so much so that he said, I only do what he says, and I only say, now, oh, this is so powerful. Let it sink in for just a moment. Jesus said, he said this, he was talking to his disciples, he said, now listen, he said, I only. He didn't say every just once in a while. Listen to this. Jesus was telling his disciples, he was trying to get a point across to them. He knew that if they could get this, as my grandma used to say, in their crawl, I don't even know what that means. But if you can get that in your knower, as Kelly ministered, it's going to take you somewhere. If I could promise you something that will take you somewhere in life that you will enjoy, this, if you'll catch these words, this message today, it will change your life for the good. You will begin to see an advancement in your life, spiritually, physically, financially. How do I know? Kelly and I begin to put it into practice. And the unique thing about it is God is no respecter of persons, and it doesn't matter who you are, what your background is, it doesn't matter what your education level is, it works. It was made to work for all people of all walks of faith. all walks of life. It doesn't matter. You can be from China. Still going to work for you. Amen. If you'll get this into your heart today, I'm convinced with all of my heart, it will literally change your life. It will change your lifestyle. It will change not only, it will change how you view people. It will change how you view circumstances. And you'll begin to realize that if I do these principles, it literally brings things into your life that you thought, I'll never have this. I'll never receive that. It will actually begin to remove some of the feelings within your heart that you're not good enough. You know, I think one of the greatest battles we battle with as humans is that we want to compare our life, our abilities of what we can do and where we can go. We do it based upon on other people's lives. Where they say, well, they've got that, but in order to get that, they had this to get that. But if you'll follow this message today, you'll begin to realize that if I put this into practice, it doesn't matter how much education I have, and education is very good. It's very important. Because the more you know, the more God can use you. But you'll begin to realize that the sky is truly the limit. You are not limited to where you are right now based upon your education, based upon your color, based upon your religion, based upon anything like that. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you're unstoppable. Nothing is impossible with God to them that believe. That takes me to the first passage of Scripture. Jesus said, if you'll confess with your mouth. So first of all, he didn't say believe. He said, first you got to confess it. Now this is not this blab it and grab it. That has been so messed up among the faith message. We're not talking about that. But what we are saying, he says, if you'll confess with your mouth and then believe. This isn't amazing that he didn't say believe first and then confess it? You see, there's something that takes place when it comes out of your mouth. Because we realize that we understand that if we are created in the image and likeness of God, and we talked about this last Sunday, but I want to reiterate this fact. It said that because we're created after the image and likeness of God, then if we're doing it like God did it, what happened when God confessed? He spoke. He got the results. He got the results. It didn't say that he believed and then confessed. It just says, and he said, and it happened. I love that. But Jesus comes along and says, well, but you're created in the image and likeness of my dad, but you must confess with your mouth and then believe. And I like that because what happens is when belief connects with what you say, reality happens. You see, you have the same power. You have the same authority. Come on. I want that to sink real good in your heart right now because you won't go any further in life if you don't get that in your heart. I said, you have the same power. You have the same authority that Jesus does. If you grasp that and know that you know that you know that is for real and that is me and that's what I've been given, I tell you folks, it literally changes who you are because you realize I'm not what I thought I was. I am really something in God. That all of this power belongs to me, this authority. Now, it doesn't give you pride and doesn't puff you up, but it does give you a sense of understanding that now I know who I am, and because now that I know who I am, I can finally act like who I am instead of acting like who I thought I have been. A lot of the reasons that we are where we are today is because we believe that we are only that, and we've lived out what we've confessed. Well, I'll tell you what, my back's a-killing me. Well, you know, I don't want to go over there. They all got the flu. I'll get it too. I never heard in all the scriptures I've read, I never read, Sister Susan, where Jesus talked like that. In fact, he would let the lepers come up to him. And he'd say, come on, you touch me. Come on, we're going to pray. Yeah, he touched that leprosy. Because he knew who he was. And when you and I begin to get an understanding of who we are and what we can do, it takes the blinders off, it takes the limitations off, and then we begin to exercise it. You say, well, what do I do? That's where I wanted to get to this morning. Life or death is in the tongue. Look over in Proverbs real quick. I'm going to try my best to be out of here real quick for you this morning. Kelly just took up all my time. I just want to tell you while I'm turning to the passage of Scripture, thank you so much for worshiping with me this morning. Man, I just got so happy back there. I love it when that laughter begins to flow out of me. Because I know it's not my kind of laugh. You know what I'm saying? You ever had the spirit of laughter get on you? And it comes on you and you just know, boy, that's a God laugh. That's the joy of the Lord coming out of me. Because it feels different. It doesn't have the same feeling as when I laugh about something that's funny. Because there's a difference between the joy and funny. Did you hear what I said? There's a difference in your laugh between just laughing because, you know, oh, that's funny. But boy, when God begins to well up in on the inside, and it becomes like rivers of living water flowing out of you. You start laughing. Woo! And it's a laughter that begins to end. When the more you laugh, the more you feel better. The more that feels like everything is just turning into, it's okay. It don't matter anymore. So thank you for worshiping with me today and letting me just be me. And letting me just worship. And for joining in with me to worship and to praise team. Look in verse chapter 18 of Proverbs. Proverbs 18, look at verse 21. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. Verse 20, chapter 18, verse 20. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Verse 21, death and life. Can you all say that with me? Death and life are in the power. Oh, wait a minute. Did that word say power? Life or death is in the power of the tongue. Whose tongue? Your tongue. Does that mean that your tongue has some power? Because the scripture says it's in the power of your tongue. Oh, have you got some power? I think about that song. You got the power. Preacher, you listen to that good stuff? Oh, sometimes it just gets on me. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Listen, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You eat the fruit. You know what he's saying here? You're going to eat. We're not talking about natural fire right here. We're talking about the spirit realm. But you will eat what you've been saying. You will live and devour. You will be a part of. You will dwell in what you've been talking about. Charles Capps, back in 1974, was preaching a faith seminar in Hickory, North Carolina. And I love what the Lord spoke to him while he was ministering. he said, the Lord began to speak to me as I was ministering, and he said, Brother Charles, he said, I have told my people they can have what they say. That's what the word says. He said, they can have what they say, but they're saying what they have. They're saying what they have. Now, we're not denying the fact that if you're sick and somebody asks you how you're doing, I would be telling you just a bold-faced lie if I say, well, I'm not sick. But the thing of it is, that's what your body is saying. That's what your body is saying. But according to the Word of God, is your tongue, you've got the power to change that. And what you do is you take your words. You take what, not what somebody else says. You take what you know. Listen, you confess, well, by His stripes I'm healed. By your stripes, Jesus, I'm healed. Okay. He said, well, I've been trying that. It don't work. What did Jesus say? He said, if you confess with your mouth and then believe. You got to believe it. Heard a man say one time, he said, well, if you say it loud enough and long enough, well, it'll eventually come a reality. There's a lot of truth to that, because the more that you speak according to the Word of God, is faith cometh by hearing and hearing the Word of God. In other words, you got to continually get it in your eyesight. You got to constantly be saying it. If I walked around all the time and said, well, oh, baby, I just don't know how we're going to get ahead. Oh, you know, my good Lord, the tax man says we owe this much in taxes and all of this, and you know, we got this coming up. I just don't see how we're going. I don't even know people that like to be around people that talk like that. I don't. In fact, I try to get away from them as quick as possible. I'll politely say something. Oh, I got an appointment. Do you all try to do the same thing? So I'm not in this boat alone. If you're looking at your circumstances and you're not speaking the Word of God over those circumstances, if you're not declaring what God says and you're only declaring what you see in the natural, that's what you got. And can I go further to say, that's all you'll get. That's all you're going to get. Look with me in Matthew 12. Turn with me real quick over to the 12th chapter of Matthew. I am trying so hard to get out of here this morning. Shame on Kelly for being so long-winded. And I'll tell you, that praise team, they're just going to have to cut it short. I'll tell you, they're just taking up my time. You know, can I tell you something? Praise is so important for people of God today. We need praise. We need praise. I heard a man say one time, and you might like this. Pastors don't like it, but you might like it. He said, God didn't come for His Word because He is the Word. He come for the praise. That's what God came for. But you and I need the Word. Amen. Matthew chapter 12, verse 37. For by your words you will be justified. Oh, whew. That's pretty tough, isn't it? And by your words, you will be condemned. You will be condemned. Look over in James real quick. Chapter 3. Look in verse 3 real quick. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us. And by doing so, we turn their whole body. And look at the ship. Although they are so large and they're driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. The pilot decides where that ship's going. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say this morning, and I want it to sink deep into our hearts. You decide your destiny by the words of your mouth. By the words of your mouth. I'm going to say this. You create the world you want to live in by your mouth. Kelly and I try our best not to be around people that all they do is talk about their problems. We try to escape that. Now, sometimes that's difficult to do, and sometimes we have to do that in counseling. We listen, but we're only listening to be able to find out where we can pray about and how we can help change that circumstance. And that's what we all do as members of the family of God. We listen and let other people share their heart with us. And it may not always be what we want to hear, and it may be doom and gloom. But ladies and gentlemen, even Jesus said, "Let them come. Let them come. Let me hear what they have need of." And then he would minister to them. You see, but we are life givers. We don't give out death. But so oftentimes, we're destroying our homes, our children. We're starting them off on the wrong path because it says, "Well, you're just like your daddy." Well, maybe daddy wasn't so good. But you're instilled into that child, "Well, you're just like so-and-so. Well, you're going to grow up and be just like Uncle so-and-so. You know, he wasn't nothing." And what we're doing is we're actually, we, by doing so, we're setting forth, putting into motion the destiny of that child, either good or bad. And then when they get older, we want to blame them for their issues. When what we've been teaching them, what they've been hearing out of mom and daddy's mouth all week long, every day, all week, all month, all year, for years. "Well, you know, you don't never turn out to be worth nothing. Your daddy weren't nothing, your mama or your aunt weren't nothing." Well, folks, people hear it all the time. All the time. "Well, I'd like to have a new car." "I don't ever have one." "Well, you know, every time we get one, we wreck it and we mess it up." They're just spewing. Excuse me for saying it. They just spew a bunch of crap over everybody. Amen. And they wonder why their life is a life of crap. They wonder why their life stinks. They also wonder why a lot of people don't even want to be around them. Because they not only hear it, but they smell it. He said, "Pastor, you're really being real tough." Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's time that we as Christians begin to establish a world for people to say, "Wow, now that's impressive." And it's time to be able to see that, listen, it doesn't take somebody with a PhD to accomplish these things. Yes, education is wonderful. And listen, I'm so thankful for people that have this knowledge. And knowledge is very important, but we don't want to let that knowledge puff us up. But God, being a God of no respect or person, says, listen, everything that you call forth, it can be yours if you believe. You say, "Pastor, you really believe that?" Yes, I believe that our words choose not only our destiny, it chooses how we're going to live life physically, spiritually, financially, emotionally, our children's lives, and whether or not we're removing fear and worry. Have you ever noticed how people get around and says, "Well, boy, this economy is, oh, I tell you, it's got me worried." I'm thinking, it does. What they're saying is, they're literally telling you, first of all, "I don't believe God can handle it." If they're Christians, if they're under worry, then God can't handle it. So you got to worry about it. "Well, I'm just worried that storm's going to come through right over our house." You know, it came close last year. That should never come out of our mouth. You know, somebody talking about, oh, it's so funny, I was saying, mentioned the weather or something. I said, "Well, Kelly, they said on the news that on such and such day or something, they said that looks like it was going to be some pretty foul weather coming through." And she says, "Not over this house."
That's right. That's right.
The first thing out of her mouth was, "Not over this house."
That's right.
Uh-uh. Uh-uh. No, no, no.
That's right.
Because I'm a child of God and I'm protected.
Amen.
His Bible says he puts his angels, gives his angels charge over me.
Yes.
He says that, yeah, he says, "I rebuke the devourer." Because you pay tithes to me. You gave your tithes to me. I'm going to rebuke that devourer. so many things are happening in our lives that we allow, that we blame the devil on, and he should not even get any credit for any of this stuff. We've been doing it. And I'm not saying that the enemy doesn't come in. It says in the world you have trials and tribulations. Come on. I realize that. But a lot of times, you know, people say, boy, that devil's been after me. He's been after my finances. He's been taking this away. You know, my car done broke down. And man, the water heater went out in my house and blah, 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 blah. And just pouring, they're puking all over everybody, telling how bad the devil's been. And yet they've not took the initiative to stand up and quote what God's word says and speak life to their situation and say, you know what? God's got a mechanic that can fix that car, and if I don't have the money, the money's coming. The money cometh. Because I'm blessed and highly favored. And Kelly talked about this morning. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm blessed going in, I'm blessed when I come out. I say those words all day, every day. When things begin to look a little on the bad side, I say, not for Ron Wisnan, not for Ron Wisnan and Kelly Wisnan, and not for me and my family. No, sir. I just tell, listen, I say, let me just tell you what I know. You know? You say, well, that's being arrogant. No, it's not. It's time that we took and stood our ground. It's time that we raise the banner of the flag of godliness and say, you know what? And I like to remind him when the enemy does attack me, I like to remind him, I said, you know better than that. You know who my daddy is. You know my daddy. Don't let me have to get my words out on you. It's like he said, oh, he's getting a whoop out. Don't let me get my can of whoop out. My can of whoop. Y'all know what my can of whoop looks like. That's my can of whoop. I have whooped him so many times. He got to where he laid. He don't even like show up. And when I see him, I only see the backside, and he's holding his backside. And he tells his other little imps, don't get too close to that Whistling house. Don't y'all get over there. They'll mess you up. They speak that word. He don't like that word. Because the word, he knows, destroys him. It destroys your circumstances. It will give you a life, ladies and gentlemen. I promise you, I've not lived all of this, but glory be to God, I've lived enough of it to know that it works. Yeah. Yes! And I get excited talking about it. And I gotta learn how to feel to kind of cut it off when it gets to feeling so good. Because I know y'all didn't come to stay all day like the old folks used to do in churches. Our tongue is like a rudder on a ship. You are the ship carrying precious cargo. Don't let it get into the hands of the enemy. Don't let the pirates on the ocean steal your goods. Ladies and gentlemen, them little pirates out there are looking to take your family, your husband, your wife. Come on, I'm talking to you. Your home, your cars, your finances, and you. And he knows he can get it if he can keep your mouth running in the same old thing, the same old way that you've been doing, if maybe not y'all, but the world has been talking. If we'll change what we say, your precious cargo, Jesus gave you his life for you that you may have precious, that, and you have many precious gifts on the inside of you. When you begin to speak the word of God. I know I spoke a little on this last Sunday, but ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to get in your heart. I have actually been sitting in services, long conferences where Kelly and I had to do like the music and remember one time up in Clayton, Georgia, when we was at that big conference up there, and had a lot of ministers from all over the country and different people, ministers outside of the country and foreigners and stuff would come in and minister. Those service was a less along. And Phil, I'd sit there and I, whew. Now I'm telling you, these is long conferences. But Kelly and I had to be on the spot, ready to, whenever one of them would say, oh, brother or sister, would y'all go to the piano platform, play a little music for me or something. And I just sat there and I'm sitting there and I'm sitting there. And after a while, well, my sitter would get tired of sitting. But you see, I had a choice. I could sit there and endure the pain, or I could sit there and begin to rejoice and say, Lord, there ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm feeling good. Joy of the Lord is my strength. I remember one time I sat here in this church at that piano right there, in just about the same spot, when a little lady came and ministered to us, and she used to sing songs and preach. What was Danae?
Tanae.
Some of you knew that have recently come on board with us here probably don't know her, but she came here, and I sat at that piano while we did praise and worship, and then she motioned for me to stay at that piano while she ministered because she wanted to sing, and I was just going to follow her. And then she wanted me to keep playing while she preached. And then she wanted me to keep playing when she gave the invitation. I sat there and I sat there. And man, I'd been there, Phil, I know, 2 hours. Just sitting there and playing. I was running out of songs. I said, God, you had to put some more keys on this thing or some new something. You got to give me something. But I was getting tired. It wasn't like I could lean back. I was getting tired. And I had suffered a back injury. A major back injury. I had gone, I was in pain so bad Kelly had to carry me to. I cried all the way to the chiropractor. And he gave me all this mess to swallow. I think one of them finally did. Maybe he didn't. But I was hurting. Tanae was preaching. Tanae finally was winding down with the altar call, Phil. And I was, all I was thinking was, glory to God, she's about done. And she turned to me and she walked over to me. I never told her I had a back problem. But I was obedient to fulfill my gift and my calling. Was I being paid to sit up there? No. There were times when I used to sit at the piano and could sit up there for 2 hours and get $500. I wasn't getting nothing. I'm just following along, singing when they tell me to sing, play when they say play. But she walked over to me. Because I had sat there and began to say, oh God, oh God, oh God, let her get done. And God said, what? I said, oh God, let her get done. You see, I was speaking the wrong thing. I got to where I didn't care if anybody got healed that night or not. Just for God's sake, would you just get done? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking truth to you. This is reality. This is from church. Listen, a church folk on the stage. But then I began to change my tune. I began to say, Lord, by your stripes I'm healed. I don't know how long she's going to go. And from the looks of the line of that order, she's going to be a while. So by your, listen, I changed what I said. By your stripes, I'm healed. 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 By your stripes, thank God I'm healed. I never told Janae that I had any issues with my back. She come over because she had a spirit of discernment. She walked over to the piano. She's up down here ministering. She gets up. She walks over to me while the anointing is still on her. And she just reaches on my shoulders and she leans across and she says, receive it. Receive it. Just receive it. I had been declaring the word of God. God forgave me for being so ugly about asking her to get it done with and get it over. God's like that. God created me. He knew I was human. He knew I was hurting. But he knew I was still willing to fulfill my gift and my calling for him. I wasn't fussing about that. I was fussing the fact the woman's long-winded. Like some of you probably said, I wish he'd quit. But I sat there and began to say, by your stripes I'm healed. By your stripes I'm healed. And when she said, receive it, feel something got warm in the bottom of my back. And ladies and gentlemen, I have never been the same since. Before I got off of that seat, that night, God healed my back. I ain't never had no problems with it since. And I'm going to tell you, prior to that, boy, I was hurting. I was in bad shape. Had to put heating pads at night and cold packs and everything on it. Couldn't sleep at night, toss and turn. But glory be to God, I don't do that no more. Because by his stripes, I'm healed. I confessed it. And what was she saying when she walked up to me? She was saying, believe it, because she said, receive it. She knew what I was asking God to do. I was believing God to do it. I was speaking it. I didn't have to tell her, but she had the spirit of discernment. She didn't come up and say, just receive that healing of your back. No, she knew. But she didn't have to go into it. She just said, receive it, Ron. Receive it, Ron. Receive it. I'm saying to some of y'all, start saying it. Say it. And receive it. I'm blessed going in and coming out, and I receive it. You know what happens when this happens? It will change your life. What you do is now you quit looking for someone to bless you. You go around looking for an opportunity to be a blessing.
Amen. Amen.
You walk around with ears to hear. Lord, where you say, oh, you say, what she needs. Can I? The Lord is saying he wants me to just pray over this situation. Mm-hmm. And then I pray with her. Could be a financial situation, might be something. And the Lord may say, Ron, you need to get that old moldy dollar out. No. He'll say, you need to get that moldy hundred you've been hiding from Kelly. You need to bless her with that. We've done that, and we've watched people turn around and come up to us and say, listen, the deadline was today, and we got it today because God sent you here to do that. You see, you start looking to be a blessing because you know now I'm the blesser. I said, I'm the blesser. Why am I a blesser? Because the blesser lives in me. And I talk about it. I confess it. I get up in the morning and I say, Lord, the sky's the limit. Where are we going? What are we doing? Who are you going to connect me with today? He'll say, well, you need to go by the bank and get some money. I said, oh, okay. Well, you need to go by and do this and go do it. Just be obedient. Because in Deuteronomy, Kelly mentioned this morning, it said all these blessings will overtake you if you obey and believe. So let me encourage you. Start saying what God says, your daddy. If daddy says you're healed, start confessing it. Take that gospel 3 times a day. Take it all day. I'm an addict for Jesus. I swallow his stuff all day long. I shoot it in my veins. That's what I do. I'm an addict for Jesus. I tell him all the time, give me a high. And I ain't got to drink no alcohol. I ain't got to smoke no dope to get it. I had a dose of it this morning while we were singing. I got the giggles. It was just so good. He shot me an armful of good stuff. He said, here, try some of this. And I did. And it was good. Praise the Lord. Life or death in your tongue. You choose. I can't choose it. Only you can choose that. As I close this morning, I want to remind you, your precious cargo. Got a lot of gifts and talents in you. I said, you got a lot of gifts and talents. Your precious cargo. Your children are precious. Careful what you say to them. You're either building them up or you're tearing them down. You're either giving them a desire to live or a desire to fail. A desire to succeed or a desire to fail. It's not just your children, ladies and gentlemen. It's the people that you work with. It's the people in your home. It's the people that's sitting next to you in the church. Yes. Yes. You can build them up. Sometimes we all come to church and we just don't feel like coming, but we came because we know that God will honor us and that we come to honor God, but we don't always feel like it. But you know, when you come and you don't feel real good, but somebody comes up to you and says, you know, I just want you to know that you've been a blessing just coming this morning. I'm glad you're here. And then you love on them. The next thing you know, you begin to feel a little better. I'm not saying that you quit hurting. I'm just saying you feel better. So my question is, are you a life giver? Are you placing death over folk and on your own life? Speak life. Everybody needs it. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much this morning for giving me the opportunity to share my heart with you. I have to share an announcement, and I know I haven't asked yet, but I will ask if they want to be known, but I won't say it. But I do want to give a praise report that these lights are fixing to be working, all of them. And we got new light coming in a daylight color instead of this yellow color. And if you'll notice, there's a lot of these bulbs that are burnt out. But somebody has repaired the box in the back. I know it cost a lot of money to do it. I'm sure it did. And they're purchasing the lights. Like I said, I'm not calling any names because they haven't given me the okay to do that. And a lot of times people don't want to be, they don't want you to know because it said don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing, you know. Amen. But I assure you, that is such a tremendous blessing because it will make it easier for you to follow along with me as you look in your Bible and read. It's not the yellow light. It's going to be and they're LEDs. And it's going to cut down on the cost of our expense on the power bill. Isn't that a blessing? You tell me God's not doing something around here. Praise the Lord. And I just want to say thank you. If you look at the lights in the hallway, in the women's room, or the bathroom, overhead, not over the above the mirror, but overhead in the men's room, the ladies' room, and in the hallway right there, you're going to see the kind of new light color that's going to be placed in here. And that is a tremendous blessing, ladies and gentlemen. It'll make it easier for me. When we open the Bibles, it's going to make it easier where it's more like a daylight. It's like opening your Bibles in the daylight instead of walking in the building with the old yellow light. And it's LED. And God is amazing. Just every time we turn around, something new is taking place at Passion Church. God's enhancing His building, His temple. That we would enhance this temple and start speaking life. And if you don't have anything else to speak, can I encourage you to do this? Just say it all the time. And say it all the time. Boy, God is blessing me and blessing my church. Just say it all the time. God is blessing me and blessing my church. Amen. He's blessing me financially so I can give to the ministry of Passion Church here. And He's blessing my own life because God wants to bless you with the desires of your heart as well.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it and pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information about Passion Church, visit www.mypassion.church.